Good evening, and welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands. Tonight on a one-night stand with the big bands, the music of the Sentimental Gentleman of Swing, Tommy Dorsey and his versatile orchestra, and an interview with one of the men who was featured with that band, the brilliant clarinetist Buddy DeFranco. A one-night stand with the big bands is brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International, where you'll find quality cars and dependable service at fair prices. This is Arnold Dean. Welcome to a one-night stand. Buddy DeFranco has long been regarded as one of the outstanding musicians in this country. As a matter of fact, we had looked forward to meeting him for many, many years, also being clarinetists. We finally had our opportunity late in June when the Glenn Miller Orchestra, under the direction of and featuring Buddy DeFranco, made a one-week appearance in this area. It began on a Monday night in Holyoke and ended up on a Saturday night in Manchester, Connecticut. So the band, which is frequently on the road, after making a number of local appearances through the week, became headquartered at a Newington motel. At the time, during a brief conversation, Buddy DeFranco asked me where he might find a quiet local corner and a piano in order to work out an arrangement. I suggested Studio One of Broadcast House with one stipulation, that he also take a few minutes out to do an interview with us. He said he would be more than pleased to do so. He worked on the arrangement. We did the interview, and that's the interview we'll be featuring tonight, along with some great music by the Tommy Dorsey Band on a one-night stand. We're sure you'll enjoy the music, too. The theme song, I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, was recorded in September of 1935. 3 years later, November 29th of 1938, this is the way Tommy Dorsey and the orchestra recorded one of their biggest hits of all time, the Hawaiian War Chant. Thank you.
you're thinking first class, the place to go is Russell Chevrolet. Russell is the place to turn for professional concern when you're looking for a new or used car. It's first class at Russell, Russell Chevrolet.
Pickup trucks from a half to three quarters to one full ton, with two or four wheel drive, with standard or automatic transmission, all designed for rugged use by Chevrolet and brought to you by Russell. See them soon at Russell Chevrolet in Windsor Locks and choose your hard-working pickup truck from the many models and options in stock.
Go first class with Russell. Russell Chevrolet.
Last month on A One-Night Stand, we began this two-part salute to Tommy Dorsey with our September edition. And our guest, Cy Oliver, trumpeter, vocalist, composer, and genius arranger. Tonight, Buddy DeFranco is our guest. Buddy, to begin, when you were younger, do you remember hearing of the Dorsey Brothers Band?
Tommy spoke of the band quite often. He joked about it quite a bit. There were so many incidents that, for instance, the old broken-down buses that they used, getting stuck in blizzards, and panic to get to work, and no money, you know. It was a struggling band. A lot of good players, apparently, in that band.
Yes. Did he ever talk about his brother, Jimmy?
Yeah, quite often. He called him Lad.
Did he talk of him affectionately, or...?
Very much so. They were very close, although they used to get in some serious arguments, you know.
There was a familial love there, despite the fact that they couldn't lead a band together.
Well, they were typical old Irish characters, uh-huh. You know, they had a tremendous love for one another, but they could scrap pretty good, and they used to remind me of the old movies, you know, the John Wayne movies. They'd scrap, but if you tried to get in between, you had trouble, mm-hmm. You know. But Tommy was more fiery than Jimmy. Jimmy was kind of more quiet, you know.
Yeah, they were completely different personalities.
Different personalities. Uh-huh. Yeah, Tommy was a rough customer. If he couldn't settle an argument in the studio, we'd go outside, you know. I wouldn't go out with him. Mm-hmm. No way. He scared me to death.
You know? He was a tough man to play for, wasn't he?
Yes. He commanded the respect of all the players, though, all the musicians. That's why he got results, you know. Mm-hmm.
I think of all the big bands, check me if I'm wrong in my opinion on this, but I think that his was the best rounded, most versatile big band ever formed.
I would say so. Well, we had two, three rehearsals a week, and rehearsals were tantamount to a prison term. Because the rehearsals were so exacting, and everybody was so on edge, and it was just like the record sessions. In the old days, we had no tapes, of course. And if anybody blooped during the take, that meant it blew a take, and he'd get furious, you know. So it was like walking on eggs in those days.
And you had to give your all even during the rehearsal. There was no saving it for the performance.
No saving, no. Rehearsal meant business. Rehearsal meant exactly the way you would do it. And he demanded that everybody toe the mark, you know.
He was a fantastic instrumentalist, but you as a clarinetist, did you enjoy listening to Jimmy play clarinet? His tone and his technique were very different.
No, I wasn't crazy about Jimmy's clarinet playing, but I was certainly very fond of his alto sax playing.
Uh-huh.
Tommy Dorsey, for instance, was the greatest melodic trombonist I ever heard. He was just a rare musician. And I doubt there are very many guys in the world have come close to that kind of solo playing.
He was a
melody.
Tremendous. How old were you when you first heard the name Tommy Dorsey? Do you remember?
Yeah, sure. I was about 9 or 10. But then, when I was 14, I entered a contest that Dorsey had. He was going through the country doing these contests for the Raleigh Cigarette Company. Swing contest, four contestants for each show every Saturday night. You do it in a different part of the country. When he came into Philadelphia, I entered. And I was one of the four, and I won that night. I won the Tommy Dorsey Swing Contest.
At the age of 14.
The age of 14, and that's when Tommy said, stick around, kid, you'll play in my band someday. I won that contest in 37, the end of 37. And in 1939, I joined Johnny Scat Davis. then I went to Krupa's band. And then I went to Ted Fiorito. And then Charlie Barnett. After I left Charlie Barnett's band, Tommy called me. So that was 1943.
Unless you were a band leader, you had to double. There was no such thing as a clarinet section in the band. What did you play?
I played alto.
Alto sax.
Yeah. I played second alto for Tommy. Occasionally I played lead when they were stuck for a lead player, but I was never good at it.
It takes a special technique.
Yeah. You have to have a certain kind of a flair for leading the section and playing with strength, conviction. Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that you have to have a certain amount of endurance to play lead alto. And on the sax, I was okay, you know, but I was never that great. Clarinet was a natural instrument to me, and that's unlike most guys. Most guys feel at home on the saxophone, and they struggle with the clarinet. I was just the opposite. I felt much easier on the clarinet.
What was the first record you made with Tommy Dorsey?
The first record I did was Opus 1. That was the first solo I ever played for Tommy. It turned out to be a hit record.
Yes, it wasn't a bad one to break in on.
Yeah.
Do you recall the circumstances for recording?
Sure, it was in California. And I could remember distinctly I didn't like that solo that he picked. But he picked it because the band played good on it. I guess he picked right because it turned out to be a hit.
That was recorded November 14th of 1944, Opus 1, with Tommy Dorsey in the orchestra and an all-too-short clarinet solo from Buddy DeFranco. I'm curious to know whether, Buddy, you frame out your solos in advance. We'll get to that subject shortly, though. I would like to hear another one now by the Tommy Dorsey Band, which again features another brief solo by Buddy DeFranco, and a vocal by the Clark sisters, one of whom turned out to be Mrs. Cy Oliver, incidentally, with I Never Knew I Could Love Anybody. With Buddy DeFranco on clarinet and the Clark Sisters and the Tommy Dorsey Band. Now that question, Buddy, that I was asking about before, do you frame your solos out in advance or just wing it?
No, never did.
Absolutely
no,
ad-libbed.
No,
all
way.
Except for
every, yeah, I never believed in planning solos because then it wouldn't be an ad-lib solo. Yeah.
It takes a tremendous talent, though, to play the same tune over and over and to play
a little different.
A little different each time.
Yeah.
Was Tommy the Glenn Miller type? He insisted that people like Tex Beneke remember the solo that he played on a particular recording so that when they made personal appearances, he would play the solo the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Did Tommy do that?
Yes. For instance, he'd give you freedom on solos on many of the things. I'd say 90% of the stuff you played, you had complete freedom to play and change any solo. But when a thing was a hit, or if it was a specific kind of a solo that fit in that arrangement, according, you know, in their opinion. For instance, Glenn Miller generally insisted on the String of Pearls Bobby Hackett original solo.
Yes.
For, you know. And he wanted Bobby to play pretty much that kind of a solo. And Bobby, of course, didn't like that either. You know, I know Bobby, and he likes to create different mm-hmm. things. Well, on Opus 1, for instance, Tommy Dorsey kind of insisted I play that solo, which I hated. But I did for a long time, and then one time I didn't, and he came to me and he said, I told you to play that solo, and I said, well, it's not creative. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You go and be creative on somebody else's band. You're fired.
You weren't actually fired.
Yeah, I was fired, sure.
Were you really?
Yeah. Sure. Well, he was bugged at me for some other reasons, too, but that was, you know...
I've read through George T. Simon, and I've talked with other people who've been around through this big band era, and they say that Tommy Dorsey was that type, that if he thought there was something wrong,
yeah.
He did this with Jack Leonard, too,
he's
a huge star.
Yeah.
And he became suspicious of him and looked for an opportunity to get rid of him.
Yeah, and then he hired me back a year later. I quit again, and then I went back the third time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I was back three times in about 5.5 or 6 years. And then the last year or so that I was with Tommy, we got very close. Up until that point, we were not friendly at all. We mm-hmm. just played together, you know.
It was possible to live with this guy on the road and everything else for 320 or 330 days.
Oh, well, we never saw him. We
exactly.
just saw him on the job, you know.
Uh-huh.
He was in his car. Oh, occasionally he'd come in the bus and yell, you know. Or once in a while, he was quite a generous guy. If he knew one of his guys had to be a little financial trouble or wound up in the hospital with an oversized bill, you'd get a check from him, you know, for the bill, and he'd tell you to forget it, you know. He was that kind of a guy.
So underneath that difficult veneer to get through, there was a generous, good heart.
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, the last time I went back with him, I was in New York, struggling. I had been gone from Tommy's band for almost a year. I'd say about 7 months. And he called me, and usually when he was on the phone, you knew that he wanted you, you know. If his manager was on the phone, it meant that he might need you sometime, you know. Mm-hmm. So he called, and I had a sizable bill at the Piccadilly Hotel in New York, about $200. And I didn't know where I was going to get the $250. I didn't know where I was going to get that money to bail myself out, you know. And he called. So I said, well, you know, I'm doing great here, Tom. I'm doing terrific, and I don't think I want to come on. So, you know, he said, okay, all right. He said, you know, you thief, come on, what do you need? And I told him, $350 a week. Oh, great, okay. I said, and everything extra, you know. You had to stipulate that in those days. Mm-hmm. You had to tell him that you wanted, if you said $350, then he could work you day and night for that money. Mm-hmm. But if you stipulated extras, that meant that if you did a record session or a movie or anything else, you'd get that in addition to your salary. Which brought my salary up to around $500 or $600 a week. In those days, a lot of money.
What year was that?
1942. Mm-hmm. Okay, he said, you got it, you got it. I need you. He said, you're great, you know. I need you. He said, okay, wire me $500.
Just to get started.
And he flipped. I knew it. He says, I knew it, you're broke. Well, he did, of course, you know. He wired me the money.
Yeah. Jimmy, they say, was a much more gregarious and friendly sort who really enjoyed himself with the guys in the band.
Yeah, I would say that. Uh-huh. Well, he was easier to talk to. Mm-hmm. Tommy was moody, but very generous guy. And he always bragged about having the best band in the world and the best players in it. And he said, I pay them what they want. I pay them well.
If you're thinking first class, the place to go is Russell Chevrolet. Russell is the place to turn for professional concern when you're looking for a new or used car. It's first class at Russell Chevrolet.
Chevrolet knows what you want, and Russell Chevrolet has what you want. It looks like a car and acts like a truck. That's the beauty of the El Camino from Chevrolet. See and drive one now at Russo Chevrolet in Windsor Locks. Once inside the sleek El Camino, don't be surprised if you forget where you are. It's happened to many happy El Camino owners.
Go first class with Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
You're listening to A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands, featuring an interview with Buddy DeFranco and the music of the late Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, being brought to you on WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. A monthly feature here at 1080 on your dial, presented by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International, where you'll find quality cars and dependable service at fair prices. It's difficult to even think of the Tommy Dorsey Band without also thinking of Frank Sinatra. And here's one of his big recordings from May 28th of 1941.
This love of mine goes on and on, though life is empty. Since you have gone, you're always on my mind, though out of sight. It's lonesome through the day. I since nothing matters, let it break. I ask the sun and the moon, the stars that shine, what's to become of you? This love of
with the band, did you ever happen to coincide with the time that Frank Sinatra was there?
No, no. Although he had left, and of course we saw him quite often because he'd stop by to see the band. In fact, we were doing a motion picture and somebody made some noise while the shooting was going on, and Tommy flipped. Yeah. Who in the world is that? Who's making that racket? Throw him out of here. And it was Frank. You know, he felt so bad. And Frank just came in to say hello.
Yeah.
And then he broke up, you know, of course. He thought that was funny.
Now, that was one relationship that was a beautiful one. Tommy Dorsey and Frank Sinatra, I guess, remained friends, did they not?
Yeah, they remained friendly enemies, like he and his brother. They loved each other, but they were just two tempers, you know, two uh-huh. high-strung guys. It was always they were always agitating each other or competing with each other. Mm-hmm. Which I could never understand. I never knew why they felt any competition, but they did.
And yet Frank Sinatra, with all the tremendous, fantastic success he's had, constantly credits Tommy Dorsey with having made him the vocalist he is.
Well, I guess we all have to credit Tommy for most of our musicianship as far as being a professional and learning so much that he taught so many guys in his band. Well, all of us marveled at his own ability to play the trombone and phrase, you know. Toughest thing in the world is to play a melody on an instrument and make it sound good, in tune, with good phrasing and interesting. And many pretty good musicians that try to play the melody just collapse. That's a knack. A lot of jazz players who are very good jazz players could take a lesson from Tommy Dorsey as far as phrasing a melody.
Thank you.
A recording of October 1946 that illustrates well, I think, that Tommy Dorsey lead ability on trombone, a number called At Sundown. If you thought the year of the 73 Chevrolet was over and you missed out on the bargains, then you're the person Russo Chevrolet wants to see. That's because Russo still has a great selection of brand new 73s ready for immediate delivery. And now you can save up to $1,000 on one of the many new models available for easy financing. And if a fully equipped executive model catches your eye, you'll be happy to know that you can save up to $1,300 on one of these luxurious cars. Yes, the year of the 73 Chevrolet is fading, but you still have time to get a great deal on a dependable Chevrolet from Russo. Visit them soon and get your share of the fantastic bargains.
Go first class with Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
Russo Chevrolet is just minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit off I-91, then your first exit to Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Tommy Dorsey always surrounded himself with the best sidemen available, didn't he, buddy? Including one of my special favorites, Charlie Shavers.
Oh, yeah.
Was Charlie with the band when
yes,
you were there?
Yes, he was. Both Charlie and Ziggy Ellman were with the band.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a trumpet section that would have been.
Trumpet section is right. We had Chuck Peterson and George Seberg. Excellent trumpet player. Boy, that was a tremendous section.
Charlie Shavers passed on, as you know, not long ago at about
shortly after Louis.
Right, yeah, within a couple of days after Louis Armstrong, and his death went almost unnoticed because of that great pall that surrounded Satchmo's death.
Yeah.
But he was a tremendous talent, vocalist, novelty vocalist. He did one called Hucklebuck. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Charlie Shavers, vocal and trumpet.
Charlie was a great musician, I think, and very underrated by many people. I guess he just, as you say, kind of, even while he was living, he had to live in the shadow of a lot of other players who got popular, you know. But he certainly could hold his own with anybody.
You were with the Dorsey Band for a long time while Cy Oliver was with them.
Right, right.
There's another genius.
There again, a guy who is responsible for introducing so many styles and new ideas in music and in arranging from the time he wrote for Lunsford's band.
There's a drive, even if you don't know Cy Oliver, know his arrangements, you know there's something about those, a special ingredient. It's like Burt Bacharach music nowadays.
It has
you can spot
thing.
It whether you know it or not.
Right, right. Yeah.
Let's listen to a Cy Oliver composition featuring Buddy DeFranco's clarinet, Tommy Dorsey's orchestra. This is called Swing High.
Talk about some of the other great people in that Dorsey band, because it's just, it's an all-star group, really.
Oh, yeah.
For example, I think the greatest drummer of all time, he bills himself that way modestly, Buddy Rich.
Oh, yeah, Buddy Rich was on quite a bit, both he and Louie Belson. They were both on the Dorsey band.
Yeah.
Buddy was phenomenal. He still is. He still is a phenomenal drummer. Yeah, there's no question about that.
He's an incredible musician because they say he never practices. Is that possible?
Well, he probably doesn't practice now, but he certainly did, I'm sure. Although Buddy was fortunate to have a pair of wrists and hands that are unbeatable, kind of like Art Tatum or Oscar Peterson. Oscar Peterson has fast fingers, fast hands. He's just marvelous, you know. So these guys really require a minimum of practicing to get complete results, you know.
from Buddy DeFranco then to Buddy Rich. This is a broadcast recording from June 13th of 1940, subtitled It's the Drummer in Me. It's called Quiet, Please. Quiet, Please. It's The Drummer in Me, featuring Buddy Rich, 1940 style with the Tommy Dorsey Band. As we update the situation now with our talented clarinetist guest, Buddy DeFranco, I'd like to read something which is extremely valid from a publicity release. It says, it appears obvious that the same musical approach that permeated the Glenn Miller Band during its days under its original leader and which continued to be carried out under Ray McKinley are still emphasized most forcefully with Buddy DeFranco at the helm. And yet Buddy tries to add something more, for as he points out, Glenn was not one to stand still, and I doubt if he'd be playing the same music today that he was playing 20 or more years ago. Spurred by such a belief, DeFranco plans to expand even further the basic tonal colorations created by Miller. I've noticed, he said recently, that several of today's top arrangers have used some of Glenn's ideas as a basis for their own. Nelson Riddle, for example, has adapted and even expanded some of Glenn's brass sounds and has become very successful. When you stop and think about it, the fact that a clarinetist is now leading the Glenn Miller Band is an excellent case in point, because it was the clarinet lead which gave the Miller Band the original Glenn Miller sound, which led to its great popularity. The particular recording by the new Glenn Miller Orchestra, which we'd like to play for you tonight, is one that was recorded in the year 1970, and I selected it because it sounds in many ways like the old Glenn Miller. Buddy DeFranco, the Glenn Miller Orchestra, and My Ship.
Thank you.
How long do you think you'll stay with the Glenn Miller Band? Do you think that this is a formula that perhaps you might tire of in the next year or a few years?
Well, no, not the formula. What I tire of is the schedule, exhausting
travel,
schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes absurd. We played not long ago, and we played Japan. We were in Tokyo, recorded, and we left the following morning and flew to Hawaii. Played that night in Hawaii and left the next morning and played the next night in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, my gosh.
At the end of the job in Denver, Colorado, I was convinced that we were all going to die, you know. I never saw a totally wrecked bunch of guys, including myself.
And yet the amazing thing is that everybody is so professional in that band, you always sound as though you're beautifully well-rested.
Well, before a job, you wonder where in the world you're going to get the energy to do it. And all of a sudden, you come to life. It's the
and they
same
play
old
with an enthusiasm, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which
oh,
is,
yes, indeed.
They wouldn't necessarily have to do it, because here are a bunch of kids who are playing things that were composed or arranged by a man who died before they were born.
Right.
And yet they come out, and there's a certain spark there.
Yes, indeed. They're pretty serious guys. They aim to be the best musicians they know how. Yeah.
Well, I think we can give some credit to the leader, too, buddy. I think it's a great band, and I think that you are... Well, I agree with all the other musicians who tell me you are a super clarinetist.
Well, thank you very much.
And I know it's a busy schedule for you, buddy. We appreciate this, and I hope you'll be back in our area very frequently and keep going for a long time.
Well, thank you. It's been absolutely a pleasure talking to you.
And so our thanks to Buddy DeFranco for presenting the story of Tommy Dorsey's orchestra so that we could play some of this great music for you. You're listening to the Tommy Dorsey theme, of course, on Getting Sentimental Over You, recorded September 26th of 1935. We'll remind you that our next one-night stand with the big bands will be on the air on November 14th on WTIC Radio, and I hope you'll join us. This program was edited by Brian Hartnett, produced by Chuck Reno. Our engineer was Bob Schirrego. A one-night stand with the big bands has been brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International, where you can count on satisfaction in sales and service. We hope you've enjoyed tonight's program and that you'll join us again for the November edition of A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands. Till then, this is Arnold Dane.